This episode brought to you by taking two amazing things, shoving them in a blender, and just seeing what comes out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Screen Test Podcast. I am Chaz, and with me, as always, is the surfer to my ninja, Aaron Milton.
Wow. I've always wanted to be a surf ninja. Ever since I was a young child, and I saw that ninjas could also surf.
Or surfers could also ninja. That would be my argument.
No. You have to be... See, because surfing is a hobby, so you have to be a ninja first. These kids. You have to be a ninja first.
You are explaining the complete opposite of this movie.
No, because what happens is, at their core, they become ninjas, and they will all forever be ninjas.
Involuntarily, though. They surf. They put pride and effort into surfing. We're jumping way ahead.
We are.
Their body just wiggles, and they become ninjas.
I love the idea that we're getting ahead of ourselves on surf ninjas. Because there are things that are worth critiquing about this movie. When did this movie... came out in 1993.
Let me just give you a small breakdown. For those of you who don't know what's happening, we're going through the movie Surf Ninjas. And if you followed us on social, you know that by now. So just putting that out there. Also, if you're not following this podcast on... There's like 10 million places to find podcasts. Apple or Spotify.
It's kind of anywhere else. It is kind of nuts. If you look at like what places host... And so many of the times I'm like, nobody's using any of those. Like... They're probably using one of four. You've probably got four areas where you are listening to podcasts, and that is it.
Yeah. I saw something sometime that said, the dog's at it again, that said, your podcast has been added to iHeartMedia. So you can say, hey, Alexa, play, and at the time it was Real Movie Talk on iHeartMedia. That's two levels of services that you have to go through to get to this podcast. That's too many.
Yeah, that is too many. Yeah, it should not be that complicated. And that's one of the joys of when, you know, everybody was using Spotify, and Spotify then had podcasts. It was very easy to just go there, click it, and then when you're done with it, you can go listen to your music all in one.
Listen to us on Spotify. We are not sponsored by Spotify. If anything, we're sponsored by Peacock, and they haven't returned my calls. So,
love you, Peacock.
1990s, let's talk about it, Aaron. There was an obsession with something and something else on the horizon. We had movies such as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ninja Scroll, Beverly Hills Ninja, Three Ninjas, video games such as Shadow of Darkness, Shadow of the Ninja, Mystic Warriors, Soul of the Samurai, and Ninja Golf. And then on the horizon was this beautiful idea of surfer life with movies such as Endless Summer, Point Break, In God's Hands, and the cult classic award-winning hit, Johnny Tsunami.
Ooh. Forgot about Johnny Tsunami. That was a Disney original, right?
Johnny Tsunami. Disney Channel original, yeah.
Again, as I mentioned before, I did not have cable as a kid. We were not wealthy enough to have such a fine product as cable television.
I would say that we live in the era of Disney Channel originals. And you may say, maybe not, I don't know. Does Disney Channel even make original movies anymore? I would argue... Do they?
Yes. And the only reason I know that is because my four-year-old is currently obsessed. And they are all awful, just to be clear. And they are all musicals.
Nice.
So, yes, they are still making them. So one day my child will grow up and reminisce about Zombie High 3 or whatever it's called.
So good. Well, I would argue that we live in a time that streaming services are just pumping out content that is at the level of 90s and 2000s Disney Channel original movies.
What?
Yeah.
We're doing better than that.
I don't know, man. The Kissing Booth? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
There's like four of those movies.
All right. There is about three too many Kissing Booth movies. That is true.
But there's four and a half too many.
But we're talking about... There's plenty of quality that's being put out here. Disney Channel... Name a single Disney Channel movie from the 90s, 2000s, wherever you were watching them, that you would say held up.
Almost... Just out of reflex, said Smart House, and that's the opposite of all things.
Yes, that one would be canceled.
Alley Cat Strike. The Lizzie McGuire movie.
Okay. So,
Xenon, the girl of the 21st century, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't think that one holds up there, Chaz. So that's the problem. And what you're doing is you just you saw Kissing Booth and said, this is Disney Channel-esque.
I did not see Kissing Booth.
You were a big fan. You constantly talked about the Kissing Booth and how you couldn't wait for the sequel. I don't know why you wanted to see the sequel so bad.
You got to resolve the plot line.
You do. You are right. They did leave a lot of open threads there. But you are right. There was this moment in time in the 90s where, as a young child, I thought I was going to face a whole lot more ninjas than I did at this point in my life. As a young child, I thought for sure I would be attacked by ninjas. Because you're even forgetting, in the middle of all of that, we had like the Power Rangers as well, which weren't ninjas, but they were basically your future version of ninjas. It was you were inundated with just constant ninjas. It just leads to a perfect movie combination.
Yeah, it's literally, okay, people like surfers, people like ninjas. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
So I have four pages of stream of consciousness notes.
Holy smokes. I like your stream of consciousness notes, though. I like them.
So do you just want to start with the most 90s opening credits of all time?
The
music, that font.
All right.
It's like a Crash Bandicoot logo.
You are absolutely right on the music. The music through and through this whole thing.
Yes. I have a little note about the music.
If you closed your eyes and all you heard was the music and you were like, what decade this was in? It would take you 0.5 seconds to figure that out. That's how 90s is.
The first view we get of who I came to know fondly as Johnny and Adam, still don't know their last name, is them surfing. I'm going to put air quotes on that because they're clearly just standing still, like moving their body, and the camera is moving around their upper body. And then it immediately cuts to, we did watch a low quality, but what I assume are stunt doubles.
It is poorly designed when your main cast, who your lead guys who need to know how to surf, I don't think know how to surf.
No,
they don't.
That's we a got, yeah. The camera moves around them, and then, like I said, cuts to people actually surfing, and we get this extended slow-mo surfing shot to 90s grunge music. And that shot, I timed it. It lasted a minute and 20 seconds. Too long.
Yeah, it's just a little bit excessive. Just a smidgen. But yeah, is it not a perfect way to kick off this movie, though? So far. And a movie titled Surf Ninjas, you do not have to wait long to actually see some surfing. You'll wait a little bit longer for the ninja part. You at least get the surf part pretty quickly.
The song, by the way, is called Monkey in the Jungle, just in case you were...
I will absolutely look that up because that sounds awesome.
From there, we go to our first actual scene of Johnny's house. The band that is playing the song Monkey in the Jungle is called Rattling Bones. And this is their only credited song.
So was this a band that was specifically created for surf ninjas?
So here's the thing. The two main characters' dad walks in. I don't know his name at this point. We'll get there. And his first line, oh my gosh, dog, cut it out. His first line is, no Van Halen until I've had my coffee. Did they want Van Halen but couldn't clear Van Halen, so they just made this band?
I love the idea of that. I love the idea that they wrote that line, acted that line out before they had Van Halen. And they were just so confident that they would get Van Halen for that particular moment that they just kept the line in there. Instead, they got Rattling Bones.
Rattling Bones, which I'm pretty sure is like four of the crew members. They were just like, go write a song.
And also, it doesn't sound anything like Van Halen, also.
No, it does not.
It's also very important to note.
Yeah. So Johnny is played by Ernie Reyes Jr., who is an undefeated kickboxer, like in real life, is an undefeated kickboxer, a stuntman, and an actor who specializes in action and fighting scenes. So I was going into this movie expecting a lot from him.
Wait, as of today he is, or at that time?
As of today, this is post this movie.
I was going to say, at the time, it's just kind of a goofy little kid. Although, I should note...
Was he, though?
I actually don't hate either of these lead actors.
Yeah, they're not bad.
This is not where I have questions in casting. I have two major questions in casting. We'll get there. We have two major questions in casting for this movie. Like, major questions. But both of these kids, honestly, not bad. For your kind of, normal... teenage kind of punky kids in the 90s, these I would put on the higher end of that scale as not being that bad.
Well, you keep saying kids. I want to tamper expectations
here. These are kids. We should emphasize that because that is not the case for everybody.
Ernie Reyes Jr. is also an associate producer of this movie at time of making.
What?
So I looked him up and he was 21 years old when this movie was made.
I mean, that's wild for a bunch of parts. 21 isn't crazy because in the movie, I think he's 18, right?
Yeah, he's 11th grade, so 17.
Yeah, 17 probably. Or 18, so whatever.
He could have failed a grade, yeah.
That's not that big of a deal, but you have to have money to be an executive producer, right?
Correct, yes.
So how did he do that?
Great question. Great question. From his acting gigs from before. There's more. I don't want to jump ahead. So there's more to this whole associate producer thing that we'll get to. But very early on, an amazing line that I thought would have no payoff. So I put it in my notes. Turns out it does have payoff. A little teaser there. But Adam, who at this point in the movie I assumed was approximately 9, said, "We just want to drive, but the man won't let us." That's our introduction to Adam.
That was his very first line?
He had some one-off lines here and there, but that's the one that sticks.
I mean, that would have been cool if that was like his absolute first line, but...
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And then... I'm not going to mention him yet because I didn't mention him yet in my notes, but now we have someone sneaking into the house with a knife.
I just love that I know what's coming. I know what's coming, and I'm just like, when is Chaz going to mention it?
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Rob Schneider.
He's officially in this movie. He is asked by Johnny's dad if his parents ever wonder where he is, and I fully expected him to say, "I moved out of my parents' house when I turned 18, 10 years ago."
This is pretty great because I believe at this time, Rob Schneider is not the name he is today, which isn't saying a whole lot.
No.
but I think this is not peak Rob Schneider. Like, obviously, Rob Schneider ends up having much bigger films, what, a decade later, almost?
Yeah, about.
Maybe 8 years later, he's going to start to have some kind of leading roles of his own, and Deuce Bigelow, The Animal, The Hot Chick.
The Hot Chick.
So he's got a whole string of movies. So this is way before that. To be clear, as Chaz has just kind of pointed out here, Rob Schneider at this point was already in his 30s. But they are playing him off to be 17, I guess, because he's the same age. He's supposed to be the same age as the other lead. So
yeah, he's in the same grade.
Yeah. So I don't know how or why they thought Rob Schneider as a 30-year-old could look like a 17-year-old.
Because I feel like in 1993... Hollywood as a whole was just saying, what is Rob Schneider? What can we do with Rob Schneider? Because in this year alone, he was in Surf Ninjas, he was in the Beverly Hillbillies, and he was in Demolition Man.
Oh, that's true. He was in Demolition Man at this time as the comedic relief. Obviously, they like him as the comedic relief. And
I just in Judge Dredd shortly thereafter.
I forgot about that too. You are right. So maybe this was peak Rob Schneider and that the comedies were him on the come down. To be clear, does he look like a teenager? No, he does
absolutely
not.
Absolutely not.
But he actually got me to chuckle a couple of times in this movie.
Oh yeah.
There were a few one-liners that actually got me and I was like,
yeah,
that's why they hired him. They hired him as comedic relief. And in all fairness, he nails it a couple times.
Yeah. There are times when I'm like, this is great Rob Schneider happening all over the place. And there are times when I'm saying there is great Leslie Nielsen happening all over the place. We'll get to that. It's very few and far between for Leslie Nielsen, but when he hits, he hits.
Yeah, sorry to ruin the spoiler, but Leslie Nielsen is coming.
For no reason. There's no reason Leslie Nielsen
is coming. It is baffling casting. Just the most baffling casting is Leslie Nielsen in this film.
The teens leave the house and are being stalked by ninjas. This is a problem for me. No one ever sees the ninjas. No one ever knows anything's happening. It does get called out, which I'm happy about, but it's driving me crazy so far. The kids, I guess I'll call them, get in Rob Schneider's car because he's had a license for about 15 years now because he's 30 years old.
It's clear to emphasize that. He is incredibly old at this point. This is also such a 90s thing of, I don't know why ninjas, like just general ninjas, are really bumbling.
They're invisible.
Yeah, they're like invisible, but they're also very clumsy and not that sneaky. Like they don't actually look. Any person with any sense of surrounding can see these guys, but of course, in these films, they never can. We're talking like middle of the day, bright as could be. They're in all black. Like that's helping them. It's pretty great.
Oh man, dude with eye patch, who I hadn't mentioned to this point, but we've seen him a couple times. Dude with eye patch takes out some ninjas. And not only do they not notice the ninjas, but they also don't notice full-grown men just fighting in the middle of the street to the death, and no one cares.
Yeah. They're wearing black.
That'll be a running thing. Yeah, all in black. Except for eye patch. Schneider's car looks like he can't afford a Jeep, so he just built one on a go-kart.
Yeah, to me it looks classic California 90s. Like that's
it's a Volkswagen.
I think. Like that's what everybody was driving on the beach in California. Yeah.
And they all stand in the car and mimic surfing because laws don't matter.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He's driving with his foot.
The surf driving is the dumbest.
Yes.
Oh, I hate it.
And I love how they've pulled the cop has pulled someone over and the kid says, "We weren't surf driving." And the cop says, "Oh yeah." And he pulls out a canoe paddle out of there. Like, this is a dead giveaway because when you surf, you take a canoe paddle out with you.
Yeah, and it's the only reason it would be in the car. The only reason.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Snyder says he's in the 11th grade, which has given me really heavy Lenny Wozniak vibes.
Who's Lenny Wozniak?
Hello, fellow youths from 30 Rock.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's just that scenario. And Johnny, who is clearly not a standout student, remembers that his homework assignment that he forgot about was to write a welcome speech for some guru that travels like the Pope that is visiting this school for no apparent reason.
You're also ignoring one of the things that picked up on for me, because you're not a big child of the 90s, at least to the point where I was.
Yeah, I was two when this came out.
Yes, but Rob Schneider is wearing something that was so freaking 90s.
Tell me it's Janko jeans.
No, it is bum equipment.
Bum.
Do you remember bum equipment?
Oh, yeah.
Why did that go away? Why did Champion still exist today, but bum equipment didn't make it?
Bad business choices, man.
I mean, it wasn't Surf Ninjas. It had exposure. I remember a bunch of people wearing bum equipment stuff. So it's crazy to me that, I don't know. When I saw it on Rob Schneider, I was like, I kind of did that thing where you like go back in time and it was like, oh my gosh, I'm just reliving it. So, but you know, apparently it didn't stick out to you, but it stuck out to me.
No, it didn't. I don't look at labels. I'll tell you if something in the background is wrong or off, but I don't look at clothing labels.
That's, you would know if you saw Janko jeans, though. If you saw Janko jeans.
Janko jeans. Well, those are unavoidable. They would take up 1/3 of the frame.
That's a good point.
The camera. I wrote in my notes, Righteous Fourth Wall Break, brah. when he's having the who can be more surfer dude battle with the very nerdy white teacher. He keeps saying brah, and then he looks directly into the camera and breaks the fourth wall talking about not doing his homework. So I thought, oh, that's a cool little thing that'll come up throughout this movie.
Literally
never again.
Yep. No one time it happens.
And then I also put in my notes what you've already pointed out. These are the most camp ninjas of all time.
Yeah. Pretty awful. Even when fighting, they are, I don't want to be that guy, but I think I could beat them in a fight.
I mean, if Rob Schneider can.
Rob Schneider, man. So good this movie.
The welcome speech is classified as being a traditional ethnic style. Just going to leave that there. That's probably something we wouldn't say today.
No, I don't. That whole scene.
Yes.
Why does it exist?
The fourth wall breaking doesn't come back, but this scene does.
Like, I just feel like if you are building this out, there's so many other avenues you could do for the school scene. Mm-hmm. Why did you have to make it this speech? Why would he not remember that he had this? Like, this is kind of a big, like,
it's a big deal.
There is
the Pope is like, coming, basically.
If you were told you're the one that has to do a speech somewhere, you're going to remember that. Also,
why would he be chosen in the first
place? That's my other question. Is he's not like a studious student. He's not, he's clearly a thorn in the side of the principal. So why was he the one selected to do this? None of that makes sense. You could have written that to be a classic school scene with school things happening, because it does nothing else for the rest of the story. It just establishes their students.
At the end, though, there's payoff.
Okay, I guess so. But still.
It's not worth it, but no, there is pay.
It does exist, yes.
His traditional ethnic style welcome is the Beach Boys' Barbara Ann.
Yeah.
Barbara Ann. That's hard for me to say.
Very, very dumb. Whole sequence.
Very dumb.
Hate it.
And it's dumb both times, at the beginning and the end. Yeah. This is the one through line that sticks. Now there's two. There's driving a car, and there's Barbara
Ann. Yeah.
Oh, man. As Adam points a stick all over a map trying to find Spain, pretty easy country to find, a ninja climbs in the window and no one sees him.
No. No, he's in black, Chaz. I don't know what you don't understand about this. If you wear black, you are invisible.
Sticking in the classroom.
If you wear black, no one can see you. This is science.
Explain this then. Eye patch man, who's wearing all beige, comes up and kicks him in the face out of the window, and no one sees.
I love the idea that this guy just like appears out of nowhere to beat these guys. Beige and black are very similar. Like beige is like a natural color that goes into the background. It's camouflage. So it's
more camo than the black. Yes, I'll give you that.
It makes sense.
Oh, that's insane. I lost my place in my notes. And all of a sudden, we're just on Torture Island for some reason with RoboCop Leslie Nielsen.
So this is not the first time we're introduced to Leslie Nielsen, right? We see...
Yes.
It is? Okay, I thought we saw him on his island in an earlier scene.
This is it.
Oh, okay. This isn't the flashback yet. Okay,
no.
I'm getting this confused. Okay, so yes, we see random volcano island, Leslie Nielsen, he is out there. I gotta... killing my back over here, sitting like an idiot, and now I can't push back. All right. So he's on a crazy, it's such a stereotypical henchman island. Volcano with random people captured in it. And here is, man, there's so many elements that I love about this, but we don't quite understand Leslie Nielsen's character yet, but we'll get a little bit more about him in a little bit. And it's only more ridiculous by the fact that it is Leslie Nielsen. So if you're going to have Leslie Nielsen in a movie, obviously, physical kind of slapstick style of comedy is Leslie Nielsen's brand. Like, that is what he is known for. So they immediately do a phone joke where he's across the lair and the phone is ringing and he has to run forever to get there.
Right.
Totally.
Don't forget, he's this evil dictator who's just straight up murdering people, but he's got the most... random regular Leslie Nielsen voice note. Hey, you've reached dictator so-and-so.
Yeah.
Can't make it to the phone right now.
Just totally at this point, not to say everything has been like serious and but totally it to me it was a little jarring that it got that it does that all of a sudden. I don't know how to describe it. Like how
it's
that
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, it's a very, very strange introduction to Leslie Nielsen at this point. He's a half robot, or his face is half robot. Again, we know nothing about that at this point.
Yeah, not yet. We will.
Yeah.
And it's gruesome. If it was anyone else, or if you didn't know who Leslie Nielsen was, I would hate the phone bit. But because it's Leslie Nielsen, the phone bit works, because it's super Leslie Nielsen.
So I mentioned something to you a few weeks ago when I watched this movie. And what makes this scene kind of extra interesting to me is because that phone bit feels like almost Leslie Nielsen said, I need to have that. Or at least they got him and said, well, it's Leslie Nielsen, so we have to do this bit where the phone is ringing across the layer and it takes him forever to get there. There's a stupid voicemail that's dumb. All of that. But I pointed to you. I went into IMDb and I was looking through the trivia section because I immediately wanted to see this. And one of the things in the trivia section was Leslie Nielsen was said to be surprisingly intimidated during the filming. Intimidating during the filming.
Okay.
Ernie Reyes Jr. said that Nielsen remained in character off camera in an attempt to scare everyone. Is anything in this movie say Leslie Nielsen is scary?
No.
No. And also,
actually,
why is he method acting?
We'll get to my notes.
Why is he method acting? Like, this is Surf Ninjas. You don't need a method act for this. It was a very strange thing to read that because I was like, but he's doing slapstick. What was intimidating or scary about this? Very weird.
It's fantastic. We learn that Nielsen is attempting murder that will lead to death on some teenagers and a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Bob Schneider. and it was clearly not in Schneider's contract that he had to surf. That was made very clear.
Well, I don't think anybody had to surf.
Yeah, well, when they go to the beach, he was like, I'm going to sit here all day and just wax.
As a child, I don't know why, that is distinctly when I think of this movie. Uh-huh. That is distinctly one of those scenes that I just remembered. And rewatching it now, I couldn't tell you what was happening or what led to it. But him waxing his board and never leaving the beach because he's always just waxing his board, that was like, as a child, that was top-tier comedy. Very funny.
Okay.
Okay. As an adult, I watched it and I was like, that's a very innocuous scene. Like, it doesn't...
Yes.
Nothing really happens there. But as a kid, that stuck with me.
Not even close to his funniest thing he does. But
no, he's way funnier.
Yeah. Snorkel Ninja is literally right beside them.
Yeah.
One of them literally hits Snorkel Ninja in the head with his board. And he's like, brah, then get a rock. What? And then he washes up dead on the beach. And a little kid and a dog are like, oh, all right.
I also dead love, body behind. I also love how ineffective that is. Like, a ninja... It's like, I'm going to get them. While they're surfing, I'm going to scuba.
Let me get my snorkel.
And I'm just going to pop out of the water at them at some point.
With a harpoon gun.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
There are better ways of doing this. It's very ineffective.
Oh, man. At Dad's fish taco restaurant, which we later find out is a burger restaurant for some reason, everyone finally meets Eye Patch Adams is what I've been calling him to this point.
I love
point.
That.
His name is actually Zatch. And I can only imagine that's actually short for Zachary.
Oh, it definitely was.
Yeah, my name's Zachary, but I can go by Zach.
Call me Zach.
Oh, man. Okay, so here we go. Spoiler alert. Johnny talked about being adopted earlier, and Zach is played by... It sounds so weird. It sounds like I'm mispronouncing something.
No, his name is Zach. Just Zach.
Zach is played by Ernie Reyes Sr., seeing as how Johnny is played by Ernie Reyes Jr., I feel like we might be meeting the kid's real dad. I'm just going to leave it at that because that's where I was in my notes at this point.
You are.
Literally.
That is actually true. Patch Adams over there, Zatch Adams, that is the actual father. So you are correct.
That's not the father.
Yes,
it is.
It's
their uncle. No, the king is the father.
No. I'm saying in real life.
Oh, in real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
My big thought here was imagine being cast in a movie. And then your son being like, yeah, I'm the producer. You have to call me your highness or royalty through this whole thing.
It's a part of his contract.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Ninjas break through the restaurant through the windows, which also somehow makes all the lights explode. And it's finally fighting time. We've got the surfing. Now we're getting the ninja-ing.
Yeah. And this specific fight scene reminded me so much of like Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Where you kind of have like a room and they think of like, all right, where are all the angles and avenues we could shoot a ninja out of?
Mm-hmm.
So to get into the room, they don't come through the front door. In fact, we're never going to use the front door. They're going to come through this window. They're going to come through this vent. They're going to come through this crack.
There's a skylight for some reason.
But there's a skylight in this restaurant. Like, because that's what you have to have ninjas do. They don't just open a door. They've got to like flip into it or, you know, explode through glass to get in there because that is what a ninja does. And it just...
Mm-hmm.
It just, oh yeah, that was what Ninja Turtles was just have foot soldiers coming out of everywhere just because.
Yes. The quality of the YouTube video that I watched was not the greatest, but I'm pretty sure I watched Mac, whose name I know now, who is the dad, adoptive father, pardon me, stab someone in the face,
he does.
By the way.
Yeah.
And then he takes another guy and throws his butt on the flat top, so tomorrow's tacos are going to smell a little funny.
I love the over-exaggerated, I'm getting burned in the butt. Acting, love it.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that one person in the movies when you watch trailers and they have kids' trailers and somebody gets hit in the crotch or something happens to their butt.
Yeah.
There is a market for that humor.
And it's a comedy.
Lost my place in my notes again. Three ninjas fight with swords and shields. Is that like a ninja knight hybrid? Because I've seen these before. In Warriors of Virtue.
That is a great point. You know, to me, especially in the 90s, a sword and shield obviously was not popular for ninjas. You wanted ninja stars.
Yeah.
Same. You wanted sword. Nunchucks. And my personal favorite were the sides.
Katana? Oh, sides. Okay.
Or were the...
Katana's got the 3 points. Size, just small blades.
No. A katana is a sword.
Correct, yeah, but it's got like the one long point and then the two little points on the side.
Yeah, isn't that a side?
I thought that was... The person who uses those in Mortal Kombat's name is Katana, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, but Raphael... He would have used these, and he did not use katanas.
No, a katana is just a straight-up sword. I'm wrong.
I know you are, Chaz.
How do you spell Sai? S-I-G-H. I have no clue.
Look up Raphael's weapon of choice. What are those called?
Google that while you talk.
Yeah, Google it just like that. Yeah. Hey, Bigot, go to ChatGPT and ask it what weapon he uses.
Twin Sai.
So he uses two Sais.
Yes.
Chaz,
exactly
I hate
the same.
To say how right I was. But in the 90s.
It's Mortal Kombat. It's not me.
Those were the weapons of choice for ninjas.
Yes.
Like you would always see nunchucks, throwing stars, Sais. Like that was it. That's what they used. So it is a little interesting to see a sword and shield. Because that's, I know Warriors of Virtue was doing that, but that is very much a what knights use.
The sword you can get away with, but when you pull out a medieval shield, you lost me. You just went into some, you stole something from the cart of another movie's prop department.
Yeah, definitely. That was, I think they stole that from Kid in King Arthur's Court. I think that was filming at the same time.
And there's the one extra in the background looking around for a shield. It's on this other set. Side note, now that I know the adoptive father's name is Mac, if this movie does not end with the boys reuniting with their father and Mac getting a pet, any sort, dog, parrot, and naming it Cheese, huge missed opportunity.
Oh,
I'm going to let you know now, spoiler alert, I was disappointed.
I love it.
You know what else I love? Everyone just straight up abandoning Mac, who is very out of shape. With 40 ninjas and just like deal with it, dude.
He did say, I've got it.
He didn't got it.
He did got it. But he does say, doesn't he say, I got this?
Yeah, he says, get them out of here. I've got this. But then Iggy Schneider is like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go too. You good? You good? I'm out. And so he basically left him for dead. If it's anybody's fault, it's Rob Schneider's fault.
Oh, yeah. He would be held accountable for his death. Yeah.
I do appreciate at this point in time, Rob Schneider talks about how well they're camouflaged and that, like, tongue in cheek, nobody can see these ninjas ever. And I did appreciate that, but still, everyone in this world is a bumbling idiot.
They are. Yeah. But that was 90s ninjas. 90s ninjas, just bumbling idiots. That's what it is.
You know what else 90 ninjas with eye patches could apparently do?
What?
Just teleport. It's like, your royalty, I disappeared.
Like, at that fight scene?
No, after they're under a pier or something, and he teleports. He's like, we've got to get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
They leave. They say, we want to go back. He disappears. They go back, and he just reappears. You didn't have to. You just left to come back. You just let Matt get kidnapped and came back to the scene of the crime. What is wrong with you guys?
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even put. Honestly, when I'm watching these types of films, I think I'm missing a lot of the pacing. And there's a lot of beats that are just kind of missing there, but you are right. Yeah. Teleportation apparently exists.
Zach. It still sounds like I'm mispronouncing just Zach.
No, it's cool.
His name is Zach. Zach reappears back in Mac's burger/fish taco shop and tells them that he is not their dad. So, spoiler alert there. We've already discussed this, but their pop-pop was the king. And Zach was his protector, I guess. He's dead, so he wasn't a very great protector. I guess he was just the kid's protector.
I don't know if they ever actually explain how they got to the U.S.
No.
They don't really cover any of that.
Mac was just a random, the only white dude in this village. He was an American sailor that got abandoned. So from what they give us, and we're about to get there in a minute, but when they're attacked, they put two small children in a boat with just this heavyset white dude. And it is literally like one of those old row-out fishing boats that you see in historic China. Did he paddle that thing all the way to America?
That is what's implied. Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, man. So here we go. We're flashing back to the good old days on the island, which everything looks exactly the same as when they showed it, except there's a rainbow symbolizing peace.
Yeah.
They might as well have written in the sky, this symbolizes peace. And I think it's called Padusan.
Yep.
But the youngest boy equated it with porta potty, so now that's all I can think of.
Yep, that's porta potty.
When I think island, porta potty. The island of porta potty.
There's the island itself. That whole scene too. Obviously, we're introduced to Leslie Nielsen.
Yep.
So we find out these kids are royalty, and this is kind of like the beginning of Leslie Nielsen's character. What is funny about this, also, amongst many things, I said his character is kind of funny for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a Thailand, Philippine-esque island.
Yes.
And for some reason, Leslie Nielsen...
Just white dude named Chi.
...is the bad guy in this movie. It just goes to show the priorities of when they were writing this. They just wanted the funny guy, apparently, as a villain.
Oh, but he stayed in character. It was intimidating.
Yeah, and they didn't care about anything else. The storytelling, obviously, in these types of films, the storytelling is... I don't even want to say it's the second most important thing. It's like the fifth most important thing when they're making these types of movies. Just ahead, Bumbling Ninjas. So, you know, obviously they didn't care that Leslie... half-robot Leslie... Which, do we find out why he's a half-robot?
Okay, so, first off, let me just say, in this flashback, he addresses them by their original Chinese names, which are Johnny and Adam. I love that this is some mystical... Chinese island, and it's not even like Mac changed their names to hide.
Yeah.
They were named Johnny and Adam. but yeah, in my mind, there's this board meeting where someone says, who's the most menacing, scary guy we can get to be the villain? And someone else says, well, have you seen Mr. Magoo? And that first person says, no, that movie won't come out for 4 years. So that the other person says, okay, well, the dude from Naked Gun. let's get him stomped on by an elephant.
Oh, that's right. Yes, the elephant. I forgot about that scene. Yes, yeah. Stopped by an elephant, so he's half robot. Yeah.
I also love just you saying he stayed in character and was like...
It's so funny, right?
So intimidating. Because he's not even intimidating in the scene where he's supposed to be. He's always having to fix that samurai because it keeps falling over his eyes.
That's what I can't figure out. Like, he's slapstick in there. So why would he at all be intimidating? It's crazy to me.
Oh, man. Okay, we're out of the flashback. We are present day with Robo Nielsen. The cops have now come to investigate what's going on at the burger shop. The cop's advice is some of my favorite advice that I've ever seen from a cop in any pop culture. It is, your dad probably owed someone some money and they wanted it back, so he abandoned you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And this is one of the main heroes of the movie. It's like, your dad abandoned you because he had a gambling problem. This is LA, kids. It's real life.
This cop is a questionable cop for a bunch of reasons.
I love how it's just like, let's do this. I gotta take a vacation. Hold on.
I gotta look up who this actor is, because he just kind of like stopped existing. And yeah. I don't know why I want to, because like this is a type of guy that's like, oh, I remember him. Like,
yep. Remember that voice?
Yeah. He's got a really raspy voice. So I'm assuming we don't see him anymore because he died of throat cancer.
Oh, man.
That's, I made that up. I have no clue.
Bold thing to put on, yeah.
All right, so I gotta look this guy up. What was his name?
Oh, man, good luck.
Because he's not school cop.
No, the school cop is the one taking the ore out of the...
Was it Sergeant? Lieutenant Spence.
That's it. Tony Locke.
Tony Locke. Like, where have you been, Tony Locke?
He's got a movie coming out. No, a TV show coming out. It's in post-production. It's called Hollywood.
So he's got... Oh, he's done a ton of voice acting. Okay, well, let's continue.
Of course, listen to that voice.
I mean, just gravel. Pure gravel in that guy's voice. But he is a very questionable cop. And we'll get to some of his decision-making here in a little bit.
For those of you who are trying to figure out, like, do I know this guy? He is Ace Ventura's best friend. That's where I knew him from, in the first Ace Ventura movie.
Yeah, he was really hot during this time. And then apparently he's just been doing voice acting. Yeah. he does have good cop vibes to him.
Yes. He's also in Heat.
Yeah. So. But probably as a cop, right?
I don't know.
It's a good guess.
Good guess. We'll never know. I'm not going to do that much research because we're running out of time.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to like the real stuff.
Yeah, let's get to the real stuff. The cops believe that Rob Schneider is the kid's uncle because Rob Schneider's 30 years old, so why wouldn't he believe that?
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Schneider yelling at the kids in a Scottish accent wearing a Hitler mustache just goes to show me that your sketch comedy pitch from the last episode would absolutely work.
I told you.
Adam can now just see what's about to happen on his video game, and the ninjas do murder that does lead to death to the cops that are outside.
I love this. This is also one of those distinct memories. I remember waxing a board and then a Sega Game Gear.
Yep.
For some reason, the Sega Game Gear shows him what is happening. Fun little fact. This is a little trivia found on IMDb. The Sega Game Gear was a big part of the story, because this is not the first time we see it. We see it multiple times throughout the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sega financed part of the production.
Oh, there you go.
You know, you learn something new.
You learn something new every day. They decide the best course of action is just to blow up their entire house, and they move on.
I do love that.
Rob Schneider decides he has a very strong what-if power, where he says, what if things happen? Still not sure that's unresolved. Is that true? Because he's pretty accurate with it.
Mm-hmm.
The phone bit with Leslie Nielsen's getting... It's becoming the highlight of the movie for me. They go to a restaurant where Johnny meets his future wife through this ceremony, which they had very well set up, even though they had no clue Johnny was coming to that restaurant at that particular time. And there's some she's probably ugly jokes and then some hubba hubba. And then Johnny and Adam have their first fight, sans Zatch, where we see Johnny's body fights involuntarily. He just starts wiggling and then boom, he's a ninja.
Yeah. All right, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just how you become a ninja.
That's how I became a ninja. The team, I'm trying to go through this quickly. I don't want to skip anything, but we got to get through this whole movie. The team rush to get back to Porta Potty, but they are chased by gravel police officer. And there's a montage of them traveling on the boat. And it shows clips of like a model boat going over a map to show where the journey is.
Yeah.
And that model boat just happens to drift right over the countries of Nicaragua and Honduras.
Yeah, just skips right in.
They go right there. It walks off land.
Chaz, and that's one of my questionable decisions by this police officer. He's following them. They get onto a giant boat, and he just decides, Let's go. I'm going with them. The boat just leaves, and now he's like, really, his reaction is not like, well, I need to get back home. I've got things back there. People depend on me. I've got a cat sitting at home. I got to get back home. He's just like, all right, cool. Let's go.
Let's go.
Me go to a totally different country as a cop. Out of my jurisdiction, because I'm going to help you for some reason. Suddenly he believes them. Also, that's another thing, right? He was just questioning them. Gets onto the boat, and they're like, we're going here. And he's just like, okay. Like, I believe it now. His
literal words are, I need a vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's just in.
He goes, I need a vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
Was that a good impression?
Yeah, that was great.
I thought I
knew. Another thing about that montage is this movie, the outside of the island, takes place in L.A., the montage of the boat, the little model boat that goes over the map, starts in Florida. So they drove all the way from LA to Florida to get on a boat to drive that boat over Nicaragua and Honduras past LA to get to Asia. Hey, whatever's going to take up the most time, let's do it.
Yeah.
We also learned that this policeman digs through poop and re-eats a key every Tuesday.
Yeah. That's like a thing people do.
Yeah. Is it the same? Does he just poop out a key and leave it where he... Are there little turds with handcuff keys?
I do love that. Like, yeah. They say that. They're just like, don't even think about it. Yeah. Don't process the thought. That's what just happens, okay?
Oh, man. They make it to Porta Potty, and we get the line of the movie, money can't buy knives.
Yeah. When I heard that again, I forgot that many years ago on this podcast, you made a joke about that. And I forgot that line. And then I saw the money can't buy knives line. And I was like, yeah, that is so stupid.
Money can't buy knives.
Doesn't make sense.
No, because that's what money does. If you're interested in a knife, money's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Adam and a monkey play tag to find the entrance to the knife cave. And we get a knife fight training scene for Johnny. An hour into this movie, we finally get the teenagers kissing scene that got this movie a PG rating. We talked about that two weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. Both of those individuals were 21 and 25 respectively. So I think teenagers kissing scene is a little bit of a stretch.
Yes, but they were acting as teenagers.
I guess.
I mean, something.
I just also put a note in here. There's a lot of guns being used by these ninjas. These are not very good ninjas. Do ninjas traditionally use swords and shields and assault rifles?
Yeah. These ones do.
Oh, man. Zatch has cigarettes. They're trying to escape. They need dynamite. Zatch has cigarettes, and the cop scolds him in a voice that sounds like he smokes two packs a day since he was born.
Yeah.
Cigarettes! Why do you have cigarettes?
That's the great irony of all this. It's the guy's voice. I assumed he did. I assumed he smoked three packs a day.
Oh, yeah. There's no other. Unless he literally eats gravel. That's the only other
option. That's the only option.
We finally get a payoff, and Adam gets to drive for a little bit. And after a brief direction to bend your knees, everyone knows how to surf.
Just like that.
I skipped over the part where he's like, yeah, I'm the king, so cut all these trees down and make me 100 surfboards, please. We're going to surf into this island. That's on an island? This is an island in an island. Yes,
it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. This movie falls apart at the end. Just falls apart. Not that it was like really held together at all.
Yeah.
But when you get to the end, it just like, it felt like they got to the point where they're like, we need to have surfing as a central element here.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Like, they just didn't know how. So they just like came up with a reason to just toss in some surfing here. And it is just crazy.
But that's literally, none of these people except for him and his little brother have ever surfed. There's 100 of them. Rob Schneider's there. And his direction is, bend your knees, let's go. And they're just, so many people would have died in that moment in real life. Because this is an island on an island that's surrounded by quite a bit of ocean. And the most Bond-esque green screen I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Green screen is beautiful. It is absolutely chef's kiss beautiful.
Rob Schneider lays on a surfboard for a little bit, so character development. That's what it should say. It should say,
there you go, mission accomplished.
It should say, this means peace in the rainbow, and it should, as he comes up on the shore, should just say character development on his surfboard. Once the surfing is over, the ninja ing can finally begin. Zachary takes a bullet. No blood, no hole, magic. And Uncle Zatch, yeah, this does fall apart at the end. Uncle Zatch is what I would prefer to be called someday.
I mean, that would be kind of a cool name. But I do like the full name Zachary a little bit better than Zatch. Zachary. But yes, it would be cool.
Uncle Zachary. We find out he is the uncle and the king. Well, we knew that. No, we knew that they were the king's kids. We didn't know Zatch was the uncle. Now we do. My favorite Leslie Nielsen line is, you have a sword, but I don't have a gun. Don't you want this to be a fair fight? I would argue that's not a fair fight. you have a sword, and I am half bionic, but I don't have a gun. So
yes.
Is this not a fair fight? Leslie Nielsen's greatest enemy to himself, in the end, was himself. Or a kid with a Sega, what was it, a Sony?
It was a Game Gear. That was a Sega Genesis Game Gear.
Sega Game Gear.
Oh, you were too young for the Game Gear.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Game Gear.
Oh, that was like direct competition with the Game Boy, and it was like the first one that had a colored screen.
Gotcha.
And it was awesome.
And it can also control robotic dictators for some reason.
That was also something it did, yes.
Not sure how he got that, but he did. I also learned that on this island, I can't get this image out of my head. you have to have exactly 2D.
I don't know what you're trying to say right now. You're in tears. You are laughing and crying right now. I don't think I've never seen you laugh like this before.
Should have seen me watching the movie. You have to have exactly 2 teeth. Pull it together. To ring the gong. Do you not remember that guy?
I don't think I was paying attention to their teeth, but sure.
Oh man, rewatch this just at the end when the dude goes to ring the gong. He smiles real big, and he's just got the longest 2 bottom teeth, and that's all he has in his mouth.
Poor guy did his best.
Yeah, I mean, what a day. What a day to be on set, you know? Sorry, I lost it there. That was very unprofessional of me, and I apologize.
Oh, really did.
Johnny dissolves the monarchy and establishes a democratic system, as all 11th graders would.
Yep.
And we sing Barbara Ann with
for
the
some reason.
Asian Pope to close out this movie.
For some
because
reason.
Because why not?
Why
yeah,
not?
For some reason.
Because through line.
Yeah. That's the through line we want to hold on to. Last little thing I have for you. Neil Israel, the director of this movie, is known for all Police Academy movies, which there are 7 of.
That's crazy.
And a Police Academy show, Look Who's Talking To, The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, and is currently working on a Police Academy reboot.
Gotta bring it back.
He directed episodes of Even Stevens, Lizzie McGuire, Phil of the Future, and some other stuff, but I think we just witnessed his peak work.
Oh, this was. Chaz, you will also be surprised to find out that this was not a financially successful film.
I would be surprised.
Which is a theme at this point. After watching Warriors of Virtue and now watching Surf Ninjas, apparently the films I loved the most as a young child, apparently nobody watched. They were these non-existent films that made no money. A couple other interesting facts, again, that I found on IMDb. You just mentioned the director here, Neil Israel. Yeah. This answers a good question for us that we had from the very beginning. Why was Rob Schneider in this movie? Neil Israel was really good friends with him, so he brought him on to do this. Apparently, they couldn't find another role for him outside of
he could have been the Leslie Nielsen role.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he would have been great on that role, and it would have made just as much sense there. And then the last thing, and it's kind of more of a question than it is a statement here. Ernie Reyes Jr., the kid who plays Johnny, was also offered the role of Donatello in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but couldn't do it because he was doing this film. Did he make the wrong choice?
Absolutely not.
I mean, he was a producer here for a failed film.
Right.
Or he could have been an iconic Ninja Turtle.
He made the wrong choice.
Yeah, probably.
I just need you... Can you see my screen?
I can.
Okay.
Look at that Game Gear. Oof.
Look at that Game Gear. You and I just need to take a moment and truly appreciate... I need you to appreciate this guy right here. Those two giant...
I don't think I really noticed that.
That's his entire plot this film. Yeah.
That was his moment.
So just in my head, remember seeing those two teeth flopping around in there, just I couldn't hold those it together. Strong I apologize.
Some strong teeth.
Oh, man. But, hey, that's all I got.
Just for the record, Surf Ninjas is not available on any stream service, so you can pretty much only watch it on YouTube. Yeah. Highly recommend. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, you've already heard the whole plot, but that if you haven't watched it yet, absolutely watch it. You got to say see you.
See you.
That's your thing.